God's economy is quite different from that of the world and vastly superior. Hi, I'm Rob West. God has a perfect design for how an economy should work, but man corrupted it. Today, Jerry Boyer tells us how to get back to God's economy, and it starts with the church. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Jerry Boyer is our resident economist and the author of The Maker Versus the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. Pick it up wherever you buy books. Jerry, great to have you back with us.
And it's always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
Jerry, we're going to wrap up our series that we've been doing on the ideal economy, God's design for economics. And in just a moment, you're going to share with us the so what. Where do we go from here as the church, the body of Christ? But as we kick it off today, just sum up where we've been.
Well, where we've been in this series is starting out with the way things are supposed to be. What is God's design? That's what Jesus did over and over again. When someone would ask him a question about divorce, for instance, he'd say, well, what was the original creational intent? Over and over again, he goes back to creation. So we should too. And the economy of Genesis 1 and 2 is the economy as it should have been, the economy as it was and should have continued to be. Now, we abandoned that. We were offered that, and we rejected it. And so you get the economy of, you know, Genesis 3 and 4, where things get worse and there's a curse. And then we make the curse worse. In other words, we could repent and kind of get back more to that original Edenic intention, although after the fall, you can't get perfectly there. But instead, we tend to make things worse, and we rely on our own power more, and we have more rivalry and envy, and we turn the state into an idol that replaces God. Then we talked about the way out, which is to go back to biblical principles and have our nations organized the way God originally intended with the creation. So that kind of brings us from where we started in this series to where we are now.
Yeah, that's really helpful by way of recap. So how would you then describe where we find ourselves today?
Where we find ourselves today is in kind of the church era, where God is acting through the church in the nations, and some of these nations follow biblical principles, and some of them don't, and some of them followed biblical principles, but then abandoned them, and some of them didn't follow, but have been moving towards them. And so providence has organized things ever since the fall of the Tower of Babel so that the powerful of this world are limited to some degree in what they can do to us. You know, when God says there's nothing these people can't do, people have kind of wondered, what do they mean there's nothing they can't do? We're not God. We can't do anything. I think basically God is saying there's nothing they can't do to each other. If there's no place of escape, if there's just one national power, one tower, then, you know, we're vulnerable to exploitation. So by spreading out the nations, we can vote with our feet. We can vote with our capital. And we see that going on all the time now with money flowing in or out of the United States. Or Europe used to be very Christian, but it's really turned away from that. And so capital has been flowing out, and that's hurt their economy. So we're in the era now where people can vote with their feet. They can vote with their capital. And God has built the universe in such a way as following his principles tends to enrich, and violating his principles tends to degrade and make poorer. And that is a protection to some degree in the world where we haven't gotten back to that original intention. It kind of puts a limit on the evil of the world.
Well, and we can see on full display the evidence of that when we just look at the U.S. taking off like a rocket ship because of our adherence to those principles, right?
Yes, we leapt over nations that were 2,000 years older than we were. We leapt over old Europe, which had, I think, to my view, a more flawed understanding of Christian economics, even if it was more formally Christian, didn't have enough emphasis on personal dignity and individual freedom. But of course, we're slowing down now. And so we might not be the fastest growing place in the world because in many ways we've been violating his principles. And that's how God has made the world, so that there's something inherent, apart from whether God comes in and supernaturally judges, there's something inherent in violating principles or following principles that has a punishment and reward aspect to it.
Wow, that's powerful. We're talking today with Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. We're talking about God's design for economics and wealth creation. When we come back, Jerry will tell us where we go from here. What is the role of the body of Christ and the church, and how do we move forward and lean into God's handiwork in economics? I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. One of my children recalls their rebellious teen years, riding on an airplane that suddenly dropped, terrified. They promised God that if He saved their life, they would start obeying Him. The Lord has heard many a desperate prayer like this from people thinking God's provision is contingent on their obedience. The Israelites believed in a similar lie. God miraculously rescued them from slavery, yet they became suspicious and decided He had led them out of Egypt only to allow them to die. Yet God sent manna. They still disobeyed, but He still provided for them. What kind of God does that? The kind who sent Jesus, the ultimate bread from heaven, who suffered the punishment we deserve for our unbelief. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With us today, our resident economist, Jerry Boyer. He's the author of The Maker Versus the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. Today, we're concluding a multi-part series that Jerry has been sharing on God's ideal economy. As we look to the scriptures beginning in Genesis, we see God's architecture for economics and wealth creation, starting with an understanding that man was created in the image of God, and we were created to be a worker, to be productive, to take God's creation and order it and improve it. And there was a virtuous cycle that God intended. And of course, that was disrupted by sin, but the DNA, the hardwiring, is still there for God's design because we're still in His image. And yet we can get it wrong, especially when we replace God with the state. And yet there is a path forward. And Jerry, I'd love for you just to encourage us today as we wrap up this series with where do we go from here as the body of Christ and the church?
Well, I think you've really described it already. I think it's a good start, which is that the church is where this should be happening. So we had Adam, and he was made in the image of God, and he was supposed to do things a certain way, and he failed. And Israel was kind of offered an opportunity to do it right, and they fell short of that. And we saw that God scattered the nations in the Tower of Babel, which limited the power of the state to be God. So instead of having like one emperor who's the God of the universe, the alleged God of the universe, now we might have, you know, 100, in that case, 70 kings who thought too much of themselves. But you could always try to flee that king and go to another. And I think the ultimate answer to that we see in the day of Pentecost, well, we see in Jesus first. He's the new Adam. So he starts over in a new garden. And where Adam was tested in the garden and failed, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was tested and succeeded. Where Adam stole from the tree the fruit, Jesus, the fruit of God, was put back on the tree. And restitution was made to God. And we got a do-over. But that doesn't start with the nations. That starts with the church. The church is a nation. It was repeatedly referred to that way. A holy nation, for example, a priestly nation. The church is a city. It's the city of God. So whatever the nations do, you know, we pray for them to do the right thing, but we can do the right thing ourselves. And I was doing some research recently. Look at the account of the Tower of Babel. They went east, it said. Moving east in the Old Testament tends to be a bad thing. They went east and they built a tower on the plain of Shinar. Well, you go and then the languages were confused. Then what we have on the day of Pentecost is we have this list of nations. And I looked at those nations, looked at the list, and I put it, you know, over a map. And they're moving west. In other words, Babel is being undone. And instead of a confusion of language, now they're all understanding one another's language. So it's the opposite of Babel. So what's done in Babel is redone correctly in the church. And what did they do? Well, they share with each other. It's one of the first things that happens when the Holy Spirit falls. But they also work hard. And Paul talks about that, about working with your hands, etc. So the early church picks up what the intent was supposed to be, and we're productive and we're generous. And I feel like in the church world that we're in, you've got some people who focus on the wealth and productivity, even to the point of idolatry, say with the health and wealth gospel. And you have other people who focus on the generosity, not understanding that if you don't produce and earn, there's nothing to share. Whereas I think going back to God's ideal economy has a church which is devoted to God, puts him first, is productive, and then also shares, which was God's intent originally and God's intent for Israel. But now with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do it.
Oh, that's really helpful, Jerry. And I think we can often be frustrated because we know we have limited impact on the national economy, and yet what we have direct control over is our own personal economy, right?
Yes, and I think that's a formula to not be frustrated, although I feel that frustration all the time, because there's actually a sense of agency. I can't really move the nation. I mean, I've been in touch with various White Houses over the years, and I've never really been able to convince them to do much of anything. I mean, maybe here or there, or nudge them in the right direction, but in my own household, in a local church, you can actually have a lot of agency. So the choice is you can fret about the nations and not have much impact, or you can act the right way on a small scale, creating a model that then the nations can imitate if they choose to do so. And I think that's actually less frustrating because you can actually make something better and you can see it. It doesn't matter if it's small. What matters is it right? God can take care of the nations. He raises them up and he pulls them down. That's always been his level. That's his pay grade. Our pay grade is simply to be the kind of nation, meaning the church, the holy nation, the priestly nation, to be the kind of nation that he's commanded us to be.
Wow, that's powerful, Jerry. As we think about where our nation goes from here, what is it going to take for us to get back in line with God's design? We weren't perfect, but we were certainly much closer when the founding fathers started the United States.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One we've talked about, which is they need a model. Right? And the church should be that model. We should be better at handling money than the world is. Are we? Yeah. In general, I would say no. But that's what you're doing every day. You're plugging away, helping people who want to be diligent be better at handling money than the world is. So we should be better at it. Secondly, we should be prophetic. We shouldn't just do the right thing. We should also say to the nation, inflation is not just an economic problem. It's not just a math problem. It is an abomination. That's what God says in the Torah, that unjust weights and measures are an abomination. So we should prophetically confront. And at that point, there's not a, we can vote, et cetera, but most of the power is in being a good example and preaching the truth and praying for God to do what God's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen to America. I know what I want to happen. I know I want us to be restored, not even just to our former glory, because if everything was right, we wouldn't have gone so wrong. For instance, there were millions of slaves when we were founded. That's terrible. To go to something better, but it's not going to do it on its own. Historically, what that means is you have to have a prophetic voice and you also have to have judgment. So when is a nation too far gone? Well, I like to look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, what is, you know, what did Abraham say? He kind of dickered with God. You know, well, will you spare if there's this many? And finally, he comes down to 10. Will you spare the nation if there's 10 righteous? And God said he would. Why? 10 is a minion. In Jewish tradition, 10 is a synagogue. If there's 10, there is an organized voice. It might be small in a, we don't know how many lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, but maybe 10, 20,000. But 10 people speaking the truth to a nation that is being chastised by God, that in that situation, the nation is still salvageable. I don't worry about America because of everything that's wrong with America. I worry about America if we don't have a prophetic voice, that minion, that 10. That's when we're doomed. I don't think that's where we are, but I do think we need to raise our voice more clearly.
Wow. Well, from your mouth to God's ears, Jerry, let's hope and pray that at some point our elected leaders begin to understand this and that we embrace our role as the church, the body of Christ, to handle God's money in a way that he designed it to be handled, not as an end, but as a means to an end to accomplish his purposes. Jerry, so thankful for you, my friend. We appreciate you being with us today.
And for you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. He's president of Boyer Research. You can read his insightful columns for World News Group at WNG.org. All right. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
You know, Alex, one of my favorite things about Share-a-thon are the listeners' phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
AFR listener stories encourage us and other listeners.
AFR has been a blessing to my husband and I.
Call 877-876-8893 and tell us your story. That's 877-876-8893.
I listen to y'all all day. Y'all been a big help.
877-876-8893.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Well, grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. The number, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We'd love to tackle your financial question today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hey, before we dive in and head to New York for our first caller today, some news out that probably won't surprise you. The Consumer Price Index, CPI, rose 0.6% in August. This data just out. That was up from 3.7% from a year ago, according to the Labor Department. Energy prices were a big driver there. They rose a whopping 5.6% during August alone. That's not surprising to you. You're experiencing that at the gas pump. Food prices were up 0.2%. Housing and airfares also rose significantly. But there was one bit of good news in the data. Used vehicle prices actually declined 1.2% in August alone. That's down 6.6% from a year ago. We've been talking about how the car market has been a challenging environment, to say the least. This all resulted from supply chain constraints during COVID, a severe shortage in chips that are essential to make new cars. That resulted in much lower inventory, higher prices. That trickled down into the used car market. That, on top of the high interest rates we're experiencing, has caused really some challenging environments for cars in general. So these declines in used car prices certainly is welcomed news. We may be getting into an environment where you can actually get a car price that you can feel good about, even if you have to refinance it a couple of years down the road if you're locking in at a higher interest rate. Now, to better gauge where inflation is headed, the Federal Reserve says it's closely monitoring what's called core inflation. Now, that's different than CPI. That's a measure of inflation that excludes the volatile food and energy prices. I mentioned how big energy was in the most recent CPI data. They can fluctuate pretty wildly in a given month. Now, when you look at this measure, inflation is trending in the right direction. In August, core inflation rose by 0.3% after increasing by only 0.2% the previous 2 months. That's less than half the monthly rate we were seeing in early 2022. The sweet spot for that number on a monthly basis is right at 0.2%. Now, we're starting to see progress there against inflation, but there's still quite a bit of distance before we reach the overall target for the Federal Reserve at 2%. We're not there yet. The question is, what is it going to take to get there? All of this data is likely going to reduce the likelihood that we're going to see more rate hikes in the near future, although we'll continue to watch that for sure. This, of course, is all placing a lot of pressure on consumers in the form of increased credit card and loan costs. Listen to this. The average interest rate for credit cards now over 20%. That's an all-time high, according to Bankrate. Interest rates for new auto loans are now averaging around 7.5%, the highest in over 15 years, according to Edmunds. The average student loan interest rate for undergrads has risen from 4.99% during the 2022-2023 school year to 5.5% for 23-24, according to the U.S. Department of Education. So we'll continue to obviously keep a close eye on this. The question, will the Fed insist on that 2% target? If so, we're pretty much guaranteed a recession and higher unemployment. Are they going to settle for something a little higher? And could we have that soft landing they were hoping to engineer? Well, all that remains to be seen, but we'll certainly keep an eye on it. I know you will as well. You're feeling that every day in that spending plan. All right, let's take some questions today. We know you have financial questions. We want to help you process those in light of biblical wisdom. We've got lines open. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. To New York. Hi, Elizabeth, a first-time caller. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a quick question for you. My husband and I are buying a new to us 2013 Toyota Sienna. We've been able to save up and hopefully we'll be able to pay cash.
Great.
But they are offering an extended warranty to us because it is under 100,000 miles and it's not quite the 10-year mark for it. And so I was just wondering your thoughts on extended warranties, if it's worth it or if we should just buy it and not get the extended warranty.
Yeah. You know, we generally advise folks not to get the extended warranties just because they're rarely able to use them. You know, when you read the fine print, you usually find they don't cover enough to make the purchase worthwhile. So what do you do instead? Well, I love the idea of you taking what you would have spent on that and sticking it in a separate maintenance account. That way you can hang on to it if you needed it for something else or if you don't use it and, you know, it's still available. So we're not, you know, having to pull that out of your hopefully primary emergency fund. But just generally speaking, if you, you know, get it checked out by an independent mechanic and it looks like it's been properly maintained, you continue on that track to properly maintain it. And, you know, it should run a long, long time if you're buying a car that, you know, gets good reviews in terms of holding up. And, you know, we just find that on the average, and this is what Consumer Reports and others will tell you, that, you know, although there will be plenty of exceptions out there, just on the whole, probably better just to hang on to that money yourself.
Okay.
All right. Hey, all the best to you. Some good news out, though, as I had just mentioned about used car prices. Glad to see they're coming down 6.6% from a year ago. So hopefully you're getting a good price on that new-to-you vehicle. But do make sure you check the Carfax on it and make sure you get that independent mechanic to check it out as well. I think that will go a long way to making sure you're buying something that's going to last you a long time. By the way, congrats, Elizabeth, on saving up and being able to buy that with cash. That's impressive. That's the way to do it. Perhaps keep funding that car replacement account as you're able to. So the next time you need to buy a car, you can do the same thing. But you're missing these high interest rates, which is a great thing. Hey, thanks for calling today. God bless you. 800-525-7000. Call right now with your financial questions, and we'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
My wife, Jan, played in the marching band in high school and then in college. They all had matching uniforms, but when they played the music, nobody played exactly the same thing. As believers, unity of the faith, we're not the same. We're different. We have different parts to play, but there can be unity as we play our part in Christ Jesus.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. We've got some lines open for anything financial, 800-525-7000. Maybe it's navigating that spending plan in light of inflation that we were just talking about in the last segment, or perhaps you'd like to tackle something else today, paying down debt, giving generously, whatever it might be. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Denise. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Just have a question for you. I hope you can help.
My husband
is 57 years old. He just filed for Social Security disability. I am 62 years old, and I wanted to file for Social Security. Is that wise?
Yeah, it is possible, but your benefits will be reduced, Denise, by 8% for each year you take them before full retirement age. At 62, you should be eligible for spousal benefits if your husband is receiving disability benefits, as you would be if he were receiving retirement benefits. So I would check into taking spousal benefits instead of benefits based on your work record, but just recognize you are going to lock in that reduction.
Okay. So I should file for what they call spousal benefits?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that will be based on his record. You can get up to 50% of his benefit, but you are going to have off of that maximum amount you could earn as a spouse. You will have a reduction of about 8% for every year that you take it prior to full retirement age, which will be somewhere between 66 and 67 for you.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful.
All right.
Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, Denise. It. Thank you for calling today. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let's tackle an email. This one comes to us at askrob@faithfi.com. Feel free to send your questions along if you'd like to them to be read on the air. Tammy writes, I recently received a large amount of money. Until I figure out how to invest it, should I do a money market account or divide it up into CDs? I would go with the money market account because you can usually withdraw the funds without penalty. You should be able to get with a money market account, not a money market mutual fund, but a money market account. You should still be able to get that FDIC insurance. And then that will ensure that it's completely liquid when you decide how to invest it. Now, if you know that you're not going to deploy this for the next year, let's say, you could get a little bit more yield, a little bit more interest out of a CD. But I, you know, given these high interest rates on high yield savings and money markets right now with FDIC insurance and complete liquidity, I'd like the idea of you putting it there just while you figure out where you go from here. By the way, if you don't have an advisor to help you build out your investment strategy and oversee those investments for you, which I do recommend, especially given that you said you received a large sum of money, Tammy, I would consider connecting with a few, maybe two or three certified Kingdom advisors in your area. Interview them all. We provide a helpful list of questions on our website, and then find the one that's the best fit. Perhaps that person with you could develop the investment strategy based on your goals and objectives, your needs, even consider your personal convictions around your faith values and how that applies to your investing, and give you some peace of mind to know that somebody really is responsible for managing this money on a day-in and day-out basis. You can find a CKA in your area, Tammy, by heading to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And you can click Find a CKA right there at the top of the page. That will take you to a zip code search that will allow you to search for the CKAs in your area. By the way, there's about 1,400 of them across the country, and so pretty good chance that there's one near you. And again, right there at the top of that page, when you click Find a CKA, you will see a PDF there that you can download that will give you a list of helpful questions as you interview those advisors. Thanks for writing to us. By the way, again, if you have questions you'd like read on the air, feel free to send those along at any time. Ask Rob at faithfi.com. All right, back to the phones. We've got some lines open. You can call right now with your financial questions today. 800-525-7000. To Virginia we go. Hi, Donald. Go ahead, sir.
If you had 400K, where would you put it for the largest return in the shortest period of time?
Yeah, so I would want to know a little bit more about this 400K in terms of what is the objective on it. So let's start with the time horizon on when you think you might need to use it in a large amount, like through for a home purchase or to convert it to an income stream.
I don't have a timeline. It's cash from the sale of a property, and okay. I don't have a timeline.
Okay. So talk to me just about the rest of your financial life. Let's start with, are you planning to buy another piece of property in the next 5 years?
No, I'm retired. My income is covering my expenses.
Okay.
And I guess my best explanation is this is just the funny money.
Okay. All right. Not a bad place to be when you got a $400,000 funny money account sitting there. Did this come from an investment property where you're going to have to pay some capital gains, Donald?
No, home place.
Okay. Got it. So you're not looking to redeploy it. Your income is covered and you're retired. Do you have any emergency savings that you had already put aside separate from this $400,000, or would that be included?
No, we have separate.
Okay, great. And do you have, so you have other retirement assets that you're pulling from every month?
Yes.
All right.
I have a retirement income from my workplace.
Yeah.
My wife has a retirement income. My house is paid for.
Okay, great.
I
love all of that. I'm sorry, say that again.
I'm looking to get rich off of this funny money.
Yeah. Well, so here's what I would say. I mean, you know, you may be looking for some specific recommendations. I'm not able to do that. But here's what I would say. I mean, I think this is a great opportunity for you to step back, which we all need to be doing, myself included, along the way and in our journey with the Lord. And ask the question, how much is enough, right? And so we look at what are our needs, we do prudent planning, we think about what is a wise amount to save, for the future, given the uncertainties. We want to be able to cover long-term care expenses, which could run for nursing care today, not counting inflation in the future, $9,000 or $10,000 a month, which is probably your biggest risk in this season of life, especially if you don't have long-term care insurance and you're beyond 65, where it begins to get pretty expensive to get it. You'd want to plan for what's an appropriate amount to have set aside beyond, what we're counting on to generate the income for our lifestyle and expenses in retirement. So you'd want to do some prudent planning. You'd also want to say, Lord, what would you have me to do in the way of giving and generosity? But I don't think there's anything wrong with you investing it and putting it to work. I would generally recommend a steady plodding approach, which is just kind of a sure and steady approach over time. Now, if you want to take a portion of it and get a little more speculative, you could. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you know that's what you're doing and you've got the money to do it, I would just get an advisor to help you navigate that in terms of dividing it up and then making the actual investment selections. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
From school buses to homework, September is a busy time. And too often we get busy and forget to pray for the kids in our lives. Hi, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Today. Join me all week with author and mom Melissa Kruger as she provides helpful ways to pray on a series called Back to School, Back to Prayer.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Donald and I had a chance to connect off the air, and he was talking about this funny money he wanted to get rich on. I think he was saying that a little tongue-in-cheek. We talked about his desire to maximize the interest income off of that through CDs, which I like that a lot in this environment. You can get 5.5% plus if you stay on the short end of the durations, less than 18 months. Interestingly, the further out you get beyond that, you're actually going to see a reduction in the interest rate just because we know we're in a high interest rate environment right now, and that's not likely to continue beyond the next couple of years. Now, what I had also shared with him is, again, once he considers how much is enough, once he looks at opportunities to be generous and align, giving this away with his passions and the heart of God that we see in Scripture, if he wants to take maybe 10% of it and say, I want to be more speculative with this portion, realizing I could do well with it, or I could lose a good bit of it. I don't have a problem with that as long as it's a reasonable amount in light of your overall investment portfolio. I just wouldn't put your serious money in that. I don't think that's the model we see for investing in Scripture. The most, I think, accurate description or prudent description of our investing strategy that comes from God's Word is around this idea of steady plodding. And that is, growing consistently consistently over a long time period at a reasonable rate of return, not taking an inordinate amount of risk. So, you know, we can ultimately not, you know, get too emotionally attached to this. It doesn't, you know, affect us, you know, in other ways, placing unnecessary pressure or stress on us. And I just think, you know, as we're caretakers of God's money, we don't want to be foolish with it, which leads me to a topic I want to share with you. And that is around this idea of getting rich quick, that I think a lot of folks, you know, feel that temptation to make shortcuts to riches. I mean, it's a powerful pull. We see it in the news. I mean, it can look like crime, shoplifting, drug dealing, identity theft, pyramid schemes, because pride and greed never really go away. These programs that we also see, you know, on TV from time to time, like multi-level sales and house flipping or day trading, nothing wrong with those if you're doing them right in a thoughtful way and you have the training to do it. But it does pull a lot of people in who don't have that expertise, and they're asking them to pay a fee or attend a seminar or order a brochure, and they make you think that you can earn lots of money without too much time or effort. People doing house flipping or day trading right know that it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and training. So let me address this. By the way, I will have room for maybe one or two more questions today. If you have a financial question you'd like to tackle today, I'd love to tackle it with you. 800-525-7000 is a number to call. You can call right now. Now, talking about get rich quick, according to author Jim Neuheiser, the best financial plans follow, of course, God's principles. He says, Jim does in his book, God has revealed his way of building wealth. Here's what I was talking about before. Jim says it's gradually through hard work and skill. You see, pride leads us to think we can circumvent the Lord's wisdom, but the Bible confirms this in Proverbs 28, verses 19 and 20. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Now, it's good to recognize and avoid get-rich-quick programs, but that doesn't solve the problem of wanting to get rich quickly. Here are three dangers I want to point out, and then we're going to head back to the phones as we round out the broadcast today. Here's three dangers of get-rich-quick mentality. Think about these. First, getting involved with things you don't understand. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 reminds us that by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The second danger in get rich quick is the temptation to risk money you don't have or can't afford to lose. That's Proverbs 27, 2. The prudent man sees evil and hides himself, and the naive proceed and pay the penalty. You see, what I was talking about with this previous caller is, again, he had the assets to be able to say, okay, I'm going to take a reasonable amount if he wanted to, and I threw out the number of 5 to 10%, and I'm going to be more speculative with those investments because I can't afford to lose it. But I think we all always need to weigh that against what is my responsibility as a steward of God's money, which is an even higher calling than just being a prudent money manager. The third problem with trying to get rich without hard work or skill is that it usually involves making impulsive decisions. Proverbs 28:22 reminds us that a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. So I would say, just in conclusion here, even if you're in financial trouble, trusting it a get-rich-quick program to pull you out is a recipe for disaster. But there is hope, and let me finish with going back to Jim Neuheiser's book. Here's what he writes, quote, "In the end, those who reject God's wisdom will suffer the consequences, but we can be confident that as we trust him and seek to walk in his ways, our needs will be met." I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, let's round out the broadcast today by heading back to the phones to Louisiana. Randy, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. We have 5 grandkids, and we've opened up these college savings accounts for them. I think they call them 529 accounts.
Yes.
Yes. And the question is, we have IRAs that are traditional IRAs. We have Roth also. But the question is, can I take money from a traditional IRA and take it, shoot it straight to a college fund without paying taxes on that withdrawal?
No, unfortunately, you can't. There is no way to directly transfer IRA funds to a 529 college savings plan. So you would need to withdraw that fund, those funds, which would be taxable and could result in a penalty if you're under 59 and a half, and then turn around and make that contribution. Now, once you put money into that 529 plan with after-tax money, because that's what it is. A 529 involves after-tax contributions, whereas the IRA is using pre-tax money, the traditional. You do have the option of converting that to a Roth IRA with some requirements if the money goes unused. And that's a new thing that's coming based on a recent change in the law. But to your original question, Randy, can't go directly from that traditional to the 529.
Okay. But you can when, if you have to start taking the, the required distribution, you can do that straight to a nonprofit organization, right, without paying taxes.
Absolutely. And you can actually do that, Randy, prior to having a required minimum, which now, you know, is up at age 73. Once you reach 70 and a half, even before that RMD kicks in, you can use something called a qualified charitable distribution, which allows you to go straight from that IRA, that traditional IRA, to a 501c3 nonprofit ministry or charity or your church. You would just need to call your custodian, whoever houses that traditional IRA, let them know that you want to do a qualified charitable distribution. They'll tell you how to initiate that, alert the charity or ministry that it's coming so they know that they're going to receive it. And then the beautiful part is that comes out of there without adding anything to your adjusted gross income. They get the full amount, and yes, you could satisfy an RMD if you have it. Or another strategy that folks will use is, you know, they may have been giving to their church or a ministry out of after-tax dollars, maybe sitting in a checking or savings account, and instead they replace that with the money coming out of the IRA. So they're given the same amount, they're just using it as a way to get the money out of the IRA without paying any tax. Does that make sense?
That's exactly what I was thinking. So thank you very much for the information.
All right, Randy. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's head to Virginia. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a friend, and she tried to get me to, quote-unquote, invest in Bitcoin. She wanted me to invest $300, and the people that I was investing with was going to turn around and give me immediately $3,400. Yep. And she would get $350 for every person she, quote unquote, flipped.
Yeah. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, Kathy. That there's no way anybody can guarantee you a profit like that.
I know this. In fact, I tried to talk her out of this.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, this cannot be good for you. I even asked her what company it was with, and she could not give me a straight answer on that. Her thing was, she said, these people, the money that I would give her, if I gave her $300, they were using it to purchase Bitcoin. And the money that they were giving back to me was money that they were giving to me because somehow or another, these people were supposedly helping people out because of the pandemic, which made no sense at all.
It doesn't make sense because it's not right. You know, this is fraud. This is a scam. It's a scheme. It's probably a Ponzi scheme where they're taking the money coming in from one person and turn around and giving it to the other. There's not really any money behind it. There's no possibility that anything close to any investment, let alone Bitcoin or anything else, could offer those kinds of guarantees. In fact, Bitcoin has been, you know, down over the last couple of years. So it's been incredibly volatile. There are no guaranteed returns. I wouldn't touch this. They're just pulling all the levers dollars, get rich quick, speculative investments, cryptocurrency, which is often, misunderstood, and combining that with, quote unquote, helping people. She needs to run for the hills. And I think you can serve a really valuable role in just telling her, don't touch this. Kathy, thanks for raising this today and being on the program today. We appreciate it. Hey, on behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you at the same time right here at American Family Radio. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.